Yeah, he's risen. You expect me to say that, right? I mean, that's what we do on Easter Sunday. I mean, there's 2.5 probably million pastors and priests around the world saying the exact same thing that I am. You are not surprised in the least. This is why you're here today. This is why this second service, we had to add the chairs because you like the 10 o'clock service. So lunch is important, sleep is important. So you just found the middle ground. So hey, seriously, we're glad you're here today. And yes, it is what is expected. It is the thing that we say on this day. It is the thing that every church around the world is saying today. They are saying that he is risen. What many may not be saying today, and the uncomfortable question that I pose to us today is, so what? Who cares? Does it matter? That's the title today of the message is, Does It Matter? Now, before some of you get up and leave thinking I'm a heretic, hang with me just for a moment. There's a tension in the room. Not the tension I just created, but there's an underlying tension. There's a silent tension that most of us are not aware of today. It's this silent tension that I feel as a pastor each and every year. You know what the message is. You know what I'm going to preach on today. How many different ways can I say he is risen? Now, myself, it's important. We love it. Don't get me wrong. We're here to celebrate. I myself like a movie over and over. It drives my wife, Heather, absolutely bonkers. This is something that she does. The one thing she doesn't like about me, the one thing. She'll come home from the store or something, and she'll catch me watching a movie that I've seen 100 times. And it drives her nuts. She does not get the point. She's like, you've seen it once. You don't need to see it again. You know what happened. There are two movies that she will watch over and over. It's The Count of Monte Cristo, and it's The Princess Bride. Oh, I got some applause on that one. My name is Amiga Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. You know what's going to be said this morning. I can't shock you. I can't surprise you with what is said here today. Even the ones that maybe this is not your practice. By the way, we're glad you're here, but maybe this isn't your practice each and every Sunday. Most of us know. We know the basics. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Easter's important or you wouldn't be here. So what left is there for me to say today? What left is there to do besides go home and stuff our faces with some potato salad and have an Easter egg hunt with the kids, right? What left is there to do? Here's the tension and here's the problem. The problem is, if Easter doesn't change you, if Easter doesn't change you, it doesn't matter. If the resurrection doesn't change you, the resurrection doesn't matter. It's wonderful, and we're not here for a history lesson today of something that you already know, because the reality is Easter is more than just he is risen. That is true. But the reason it matters to us today, the reason that we celebrate that he is risen, because what's killing us does not get the final word. Whatever's killing you does not get the final word. Sometimes it's shame and regret. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's failure. It does not get the final word. It does not get the final word because of the resurrection. Our depression, our anxiety, our fear, a failing marriage or a failed marriage does not get the final word because of the resurrection. Secret addictions do not get the final word. In America today, 51%, it is said, struggle with loneliness. That's not a single issue or a married issue. That's a human issue. And so loneliness does not get the final word because of the resurrection. And certainly most and not least, death does not get the final word because of the resurrection. So how does this play out in our life? How can this be more than a history lesson that you already know? I didn't do any fill in the blanks today, and some of you are disappointed, I know. I didn't do any fill in the blanks because you know the fill in the blanks. You know the answers. Jesus died, Jesus rose again. We have the resurrection. So today, it's not about a history lesson that we've already heard, that we already know. Today is about an invitation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross so that we might receive an invitation from him. That is what it's about. So I hope that we can maybe look at these short 7 verses found in the Gospel of Mark with fresh lenses, with new eyes this morning. If you'll join me, Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. I'm sorry I didn't have that up there for you. Here's the deal. We can identify with these three ladies. Maybe we didn't come across Jesus or go to the tomb expecting to find a dead body, but we know what it is to feel pain. We know what it is to feel brokenness. We know what it is that to feel this deep level that we all feel of humanity when we're given news, when we're given that phone call. We know what it is to feel distraught. We know what it is to feel depressed. We know what it is to just feel like your world is coming apart because we've all experienced brokenness in our lives. Maybe it's the brokenness of a broken relationship, of a boyfriend and a girlfriend and a breakup. Maybe it's the broken relationship between a spouse. Maybe it's the broken relationship that comes naturally through death. All those things, we know what it is like to feel a sense of such deep despair and loss. And when these three ladies, when they went to the tomb, they were not expecting to see an empty tomb. They were expecting to see a dead body. And it's like when Jesus died, it was like the final nail in the coffin of hope. They were hopeless. When Jesus died, there was a big part of them that died. It was killing them inside. Some of us, we have things maybe killing us inside today. As we continue on in verse 3, it says, on the way, they were asking each other, who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. I can't report anything new to you there either. We all expect to hear, and I've preached this message many times, who will roll the stone away? And we know that the stone was rolled away. There's no surprise. There's no answer. So it's not the big deal that the stone was rolled away 2,000 years ago. That's not the big deal to us today. The big deal to us today is the stone that's in front of our hearts. The stone that begins in every one of our hearts, that starts when a stone or a boulder. I mean, I could talk about, you know, things that aren't, that you know. I could talk about the boulder, the stone that was 2,000 pounds and that would have taken 6 soldiers to move away, but we know it was rolled away. I'm not telling you anything new. What matters today is the stone in front of our heart. And those are different stones that come in different ways. And the question I ask you this morning is, what stone have you rolled in front of your heart? What stone is keeping God at a distance? What stone is keeping God from coming into your heart and into your life? Maybe it's a stone of disappointment. Maybe you find yourself here today, you're disappointed with God, you're disillusioned by God, you wonder why good things can happen to good people and why do people suffer in a world like this? If God is love, why do people suffer? And so there might be a stone of disillusionment, there might be a stone of disappointment. Some of you might be disappointed with the church. If you experienced church hurt. Statistics say that about 50 to 60% of people say they've experienced hurt in the church. Maybe you've experienced that by the statistics. We should not be surprised, because the church is made up of people. It's made up of humanity. But nonetheless, of all the reasons people might leave a church, it's reported that the main reason is 40% say they left the church because they were hurt by the church. Maybe there's a stone in front today from church hurt. Maybe you have a stone of doubt. And doubt has sealed you from experiencing faith and hope and peace that God wants for you. Maybe it's not bad things. Maybe it's distractions. I mean, there's so many things that we have today. There's so many opportunities, so many things we can do, so many good things out there. But if the devil can't make you bad, you've heard this, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll just make you busy. If the devil can't destroy you, he'll just distract you. He'll just keep you from what's most important. There's many things, and certainly the biggest one is death. Some of us death kind of keeps us and keeps our heart closed from what God wants to do in our lives. And sometimes it's our sin, our shame, our regret. Verse 5, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting in the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where his body was." We know the answer to this too. I don't think there's anyone in this room that would stand up and debate. Maybe there might be one or two, but probably nobody that would stand up and debate and say, "Jesus isn't risen." I bet we're almost in 100%, 99.9% in agreement. When I say Jesus is risen, you would nod your head. You would probably not shake your head in disagreement with that. We know the answer to that. So why does it matter to us? The better question for us today, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, will we enter like the ladies did? Will we enter into the life that God has for us? Will we step into that place and look long enough to see that there's a God who loves us, that has hope on the other side? That's the question we ask ourselves. And certainly my favorite verse we save for the last, it's verse 7. It says, "Now go and tell his disciples." The angel told the ladies, "Now go and tell his disciples," including Peter, "that Jesus is going on ahead of you." I love this part of the story because he singles out Peter. He says the disciples and Peter, and he must have given this messenger to the angel. "Hey, this is the message. It's important. I want you to tell the disciples and Peter, including Peter. I want you to make sure that you tell Peter." Why Peter? Because we know that no one broke the heart of Jesus more, other than Judas, than Peter. No one failed Jesus of his friends more than Peter had. Peter blew it. He didn't single out Peter because he was the brightest, he was the best, he was the most talented, he was the most gifted. He singled out Peter, I think, because he saw us, and looking into the future, he wanted to know us, that the greatest screw up is the one he goes after first. The one that's farthest from him is the one that he wants to know, if I can show him grace, I can show anybody grace. And Peter, you know he's hiding in shame. You know he's embarrassed. I mean, he went out on the limb and he boldly said, "I'll never deny you. I'll never hurt you." And Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows three times, you're going to disown me three times." But the better part that I love when Jesus shared that with Peter, he said, But Peter, I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. When you turn back, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Jesus knew about Peter's failure before Peter would ever fail. He knew Peter was going to fail him. He knew that. But he had a purpose for Peter. He had a plan for Peter. But he had a plan for Peter? He had a plan for Peter. It's the second service. He had a plan for Peter. And that plan for Peter overrode Peter's failure. God's plan for us overrides our failure. That's the good news of the resurrection. And he'd gone ahead of Peter and he said, hey, I want you to let know, Peter, because you're probably going to find Peter discouraged, defeated, depressed, embarrassed, ashamed. You're going to find Peter not in a good state of mind, but I want you to go to Peter and I want you to tell him, I've gone ahead of you. You may think that I've moved on, but I've just gone ahead of you. And I'm waiting on the other side. I'm waiting. When you turn back from your failure and you turn back to me, I want you to know I'm there waiting for you. And that's the message for us today. God knew our failures long before we ever did it. He knew our sins long before we ever committed them. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knew long before, 2,000 years ago, he knew our mistakes. He knew our failures. He knew where we would blow it. And what he tells us today is the same thing he told Peter. Hey, I've gone ahead of you. I haven't outrun you. I've just gone ahead of you, and I'm waiting. When you turn back, I got a plan for you, and that plan is you're going to strengthen your brothers and sisters. What you may deem your greatest failure, God uses for his greatest triumph. What you deal as maybe your greatest setback, God is only getting ready for your comeback. God has a plan for you no matter where we've been. And maybe someone walked into here today and maybe you felt like you disqualified yourself. Maybe that you felt like God's moved on from you. Maybe you have thought maybe you went too far, you've gone too far. How could God forgive me for things that I've done? God has simply gone on ahead of you, and he's waiting on the other side. And that is the good news of the resurrection. That is the good news of Easter, that Jesus knew in advance that he would need to die on a cross for our sins, that 3 days later he would defeat our enemy of sin and death, and he would be waiting for us on the other side, that when we were ready to turn and repent and come to him, he was there with open arms waiting for us, and he's waiting for us today. I love this story. I'm a big sports guy. I apologize. Don't come back to this church if you don't like sports. There's other churches, other pastors that don't like that. 1929, January 1st, the Rose Bowl, Georgia Tech versus the University of California, and many of you probably know this story. Georgia Tech and University of California were going to be in a defensive battle. Points were going to be at a premium. And near the end of the first half, it was 0-0 when Georgia Tech was driving down past the 50-yard line, headed into the 40-yard line, when their running back fumbled the ball. And we know this, many of you know, Wrong Way Roy. And Roy picked up the football. He got disoriented when he got up, and he started running the wrong direction. And he was running towards the wrong end zone. And the crowd's yelling for him to stop. But he's thinking he's just got a clear lane to a touchdown. And if it wasn't for the speed of a teammate, he would have created a safety. He was tackled at the 1 yard line. Two or three plays later, a mishap on a punt, it ended up in a safety, and they went it into the halftime down 2-0. And Roy Riggles was humiliated, embarrassed, ashamed. And the coach got up, shared whatever he shared at half, and then he said, hey, the same starting 11 and 22 that went out the first half is the same that's going to start the second half. And they all went out except Roy, who sat there on the bench with a towel over his head, hanging his head in shame and embarrassment. And his coach said, Roy, come on, get up, get out there. And he said, Coach, I couldn't face the fans or that crowd to save my life. I've ruined you. I've ruined the University of California. I've ruined myself. I cannot possibly go out there and face that crowd. And the coach said, Roy, get up. Get back out there. The game is only half over. And that is the story of the resurrection for us. That God is telling us with his resurrection, it doesn't matter what we've done, it doesn't matter what our past is, it doesn't matter what our regrets are, it doesn't matter the things that we're ashamed of. God is telling us, get up, get back out there, the game's only half over. I got a purpose for you on the other side. I got a game for you to finish. I got a race for you to complete. And the good news is, because of the resurrection, we have this good news today, that we get a new start. We get a new beginning. We get a fresh start. That is the gospel. And there was a question that was posed by the three ladies that said, who will roll the stone away? I've preached that sermon a lot of times, and there's good things to draw from that. But do we really care when we know the end of the story? When we know that the stone was rolled away, when we've heard that 1,000 times, that was the question that was posed on earth. I believe the more important question is the one posed in heaven today. And the question I believe that's coming from heaven today is, will you believe in what Jesus has already done for you? Will you believe in what Jesus has already done for you? Because I do believe this. I believe all of us walked into this room. We came here excited. We came here celebrating that he has risen, as we should. But we will all walk out of here, go eat our potato salad, go have the Easter egg hunt. For us, it's tacos, a little unorthodox today. But we're all going to leave this place in a few minutes. But we're going to leave two different ways. We're either going to leave here today with the stone still rolled in front of our heart, still stuck there, still stuck in doubt, still stuck in disappointment, still stuck in our regret and shame and fears, or we're going to allow Jesus to roll that stone away, and we're going to walk out of here with peace, with joy, with forgiveness, with a second chance, with a new start, because that is the message for us 2,000 years later. Because if the resurrection doesn't change you, the resurrection doesn't matter. You pray with me today. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the story that is old as time, but really should never get old to us. But what we need, Lord, is not more information. We're not in need of knowing more about the story. We all know, even those of us that know the least amount, we know the most important thing, that Jesus died, he rose again. But Lord, if it doesn't change us, it doesn't matter. Lord, you tell us that you stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear your voice, will open the door and receive you, that you will come in and eat with them and they with you, which that is just, that's a relationship. You want to have a relationship with us. Lord, you're ready to come in that door. You're ready to move that stone, but only we can give permission to do it. So my prayer today is that there would be those that would join others that have done this before, but they would allow you to move the stone of doubt, allow you to move the stone of fear, to allow you to move the stone of regret and shame, and they would walk into the life and step into the life that you have for them, a life of purpose, a life of love, joy, and peace, and not a life that's absent of trouble. You told us in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We will have hardships, but when we step into the life you have for us, we will never go it alone. You will be with us. You'll never leave us, nor will you forsake us. So we thank you for the resurrection story today. My prayer today is for some new friends today, that they would step into what you have for them, that they would allow you to move the stone in their heart. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I just have a question for you. Is there a stone that's keeping you, that's keeping God from getting in? Is there a stone of doubt? Is there a stone of fear? Is there a stone of regret or shame or brokenness? Is there a stone of disappointment? Would you by faith ask God to move that stone in your life so that He can walk into your life and you can step into the life that He has for you, a life of peace, a life of joy, and a life of His love? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer for you today. But if that's you, would you just by faith, would you just raise your hand? I see some of your hands already. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A lot of hands today, other hands today. Just doesn't matter that I see it, but this is a statement to you and God. It doesn't matter that I see your hand. And if you're watching online, it doesn't matter that I see you. It matters that God sees you. So I would say, even at home today, you just say, God, I want you to roll that stone away. And you tell us that the one who asks you in sincerity, you will in no wise turn away. You will open up the door wide open. You're ready to receive us. You tell us that if we confess with our lips and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that we'll be saved and that we'll be made a child of God. Those of you that raise your hand and everyone else, if you'll open your eyes, we pray a prayer of faith, but we pray it in a way that you don't have to pray it alone. So if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you want to step into the life that God has for you, let's pray this prayer together. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that He gave His life to forgive my sins and was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive Your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow You. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. We want to be the first to welcome you to the family of God. If you said yes today, can I just encourage you two things? One is welcome to the family of God. Two is Pastor Nate is in the back of that table that says for the one. We believe that if you were the only person on the planet, Jesus would have died for you because He loves you that much. So we're a church that's for the one. And we just have a gift for you. We won't take a lot of your time, but we just have a gift to kind of get you off on the right foot this next week. And for all of us, give me two more minutes. Usually we're done at this point, but give me two more minutes. Do you guys remember Super Bowl 51? No one remembers what numbers, right? I couldn't tell you what years the Broncos won or what Super Bowl that was, hardly. I can. Super Bowl 32, 33, and 50. But most of the time, we don't know unless it's our team what Super Bowl it was. Let me tell you, you'll know what Super Bowl it was when I tell you it was the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. And Broncos and Chiefs fans, we can unite on this one. We were so happy that day because at the end of the third quarter, they were down. The Patriots were down 28-3. And it couldn't have been a better Super Bowl for us. But many fans that day, they were rooting for the Patriots. They left at the end of the third quarter, or right before they scored at the end of the third quarter. They gave up their seats. They walked out of the stadium. And because of NFL rules and safety, they're not allowed to come back in. No one denies that it was the greatest comeback Super Bowl victory ever. No one denies that it happened. Here's my point. Some people miss the miracle, not because it didn't happen, but because they left too soon. And some of you today maybe weren't ready to make that decision to follow Jesus. Can I just say you're in a safe place to continue to keep coming back and asking those questions? One of the 12 was a doubter. It's okay if you have doubts. Keep asking those questions. Keep on that journey. But my encouragement to you is don't quit. Don't give up. In fact, we're starting a new series next week called The Right Foot. We know what it is to get on the left foot or get off on the wrong foot. Told the first service, I got off on the wrong foot when I first started dating Heather. Thankfully, we got back on the right foot and it all worked out. We all know what it is to get on the wrong foot, but God has a plan for us to get on the right foot. That's always His plan. And so next week would be a great way to start that new journey, or to discover that journey, or ask questions in that journey, or to continue on that journey as we go into a series called The Right Foot. And if you're here for the first time today, we would ask this of you. Give us 3 Sundays. We believe it takes 3 Sundays to get to know a culture, to get to know some great people, and to see God work in your life. I hope to see you next Sunday. Have a great Easter Sunday. He is risen. God bless you. We'll see you then.